St. Luke, chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. I like Luke because Luke is a medical doctor, and I know that doctors are very thorough. They ask you questions to tell them what is your problem. They don't know your problem. They get the problem from you. So they tell you why you're here this morning. And then you start telling them, I'm feeling the pain and everything. They tell you, yes, okay, I know what the problem, okay, it could be this. And in one of the films I watched some times ago, and doctors were asking each other, do you agree? And they say, I concur. And when they say, I concur, that's how they do it. That's a joke. That's a part. So I'm not saying that's what Luke is. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. An interesting story. And I want everyone to open their Bible so that we can read it together. An interesting, very, very interesting story. And it starts, it says, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing the net. And he entered into one of the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he has done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ship, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knee and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fish which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. The Lord and when they had brought their sheep to the land, they forsook all and followed. The Lord bless the reading of the word. Amen. This morning, the Lord has laid this in my heart to talk about. And the topic is what I title platform. I titled it platform. And as the church will know now, we prepare our preaching rota every 3 months, quarterly. And this month, one of the topics that Lord gave to me as our watchword is, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Mark 16, verse 17 to 18. This mark shall follow them that believe. This morning, the topic is taken from the text is taken from 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 4 to from verse 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. I just want us to look at that quickly before I start talking. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. And this is what happened. This is a story of a widow who is a wife of the son of a prophet. And the husband had died, and they were in debt. And creditors were chasing her for everything that they've got. And this is what Elijah said to her. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. That's all I've got, a pot of oil. And it's a very simple situation. Debtors are coming, creditors are coming to take their money from the woman, and the woman had nothing to give. And that's all she had. Platform. What is a platform? As a child growing up in church, I grew up to see evangelism, what we call the street crusade. We call it crusade in my early days. And they create a platform where people speak from. They create a stand where the preachers will preach from and everything. Then growing up, as I continue to grow, growing up in work environment, I then see when you walk on the oil field, you see them building platforms where they operate from, where the man that leads will stand on the platform and be directing people to walk around the area and be watching them. And I just saw that it's a way where someone has an opportunity to reach out. That's the way I would define it. If someone has an opportunity to reach out. So there's a platform is an opportunity to reach out. That's the way I want to define it this morning. A place where there is a you can stand and reach out to people. And interestingly, as I was preparing this message, I got to understand something happened at Glastonbury. So I went on the internet to check. I don't know many people that will know what Glastonbury is. Glastonbury is not Christian. So don't, it's not church. Glastonbury is like a festival or a carnival for music where people plunk to and go to. But then one musician was in Glastonbury this year. And he said, as I went on the internet, I was hearing what people were saying, and I went on the internet and I checked. And one of the songs that he sang, he said, "I'm bringing church to Glastonbury." That's the language he said. He said, "Now let me bring church." He was singing, and at a point, he was going to sing one of his songs. And the song is called "I'm Blinded by Your Grace." The name of the singer is Tomze. And he said, "I'm blinded by your grace." And he said, "I'm bringing church into Glastonbury." And he went on his knees. This thing touched me so much. He went on his knees and was talking about the grace of God that has brought him into that point in his life where he could headline Glastonbury. And he was singing that song. Whatever it is that he was doing, although it was in a worldly contest, but he was bringing church to Glastonbury. And that spoke to me as a person because he had a platform. And he used it. He had a platform. He had an opportunity. And he used it. And that actually catches headline in the Guardian newspaper. It catches headline in some of the newspaper. And it's like, wow. In this country where we think Christianity is going back, and someone can go to a festival like Glastonbury and saying, "I'm bringing church into Glastonbury." And people were, all the ravers were dancing to it. They were singing along with him. They knew the song. They were singing along with him. So it's a message to us that we might think, oh, they might not know some of these are songs. Some of the RH song is holding. People won't understand it. Sing it. They will sing it with you. If you sing it with all your heart, they will sing it with you. So whatever God has given to you, is giving you an opportunity to showcase it. And why did I choose Luke chapter 5 this morning? I look at that and I see Jesus being an example of someone who knows how to use a platform. Jesus knew how to use an opportunity. Why do I say that? Jesus was preaching the gospel to people. And he realized that there's so many people. Whatever is on his mind, there were so many people by the lake. And he said, hang on, I might not be able to reach all these people by the lake. So he said, there are two empty boats. Why were those boats empty? But they were there. There were two empty boats that were there. And Jesus said, I'm going to go on those boats. And Jesus went on those boats. And right on those boats, he was able to reach out to people. But that is not the main thing that touches my heart. It is the way he reached out to Peter in that place that touches my heart. He has preached to everyone. Peter will have been part of those people that listened to him preach. They've heard him speak. They've heard every message that he spoke. But there was still something in Peter that is called unbelief. Because he was telling Peter, after he had spoken, it wasn't before he spoke, after he had spoken, he told Peter, launch into the sea and catch fish. I've used your boat. I've used your platform. I've used the opportunity that I have around you. Just launch into the water and catch fishes. And Peter was telling him, we've been doing this job. We are fishermen. We can't catch fish here. It's not possible. That's why the boat is empty in the first place. That's why you can use it in the first place. That's why you are able to come and use our boat. Because if we've been able to catch fishes, these two boats will not be here for you to use. But Peter does not know that he's speaking to the man that creates everything. He's speaking to the man that knew that he wanted to use that boat. That was why he created that situation. And when he told Peter to launch out, Peter was like, we've done all this all night. And you're telling us, maybe it was even a daytime, and you're telling us to launch out. When we fished all night, when we were meant to catch fishes, we couldn't. And now you're telling us, we are the experts here. You don't even... And obviously, they will have known him as a carpenter's son. So you are not a fisherman. We are the fishing experts. We do have that. Someone will tell, oh, I know the community more than you think. I know what people will listen to. I know what they don't listen to. I know the environment we're in. I know what these people want to hear. Not what you're saying. This is what they want to hear. But the truth of the gospel needs to be spoken. It is not what they want to hear. Not your wish, not your will, but the will of God to be fulfilled. So, he told them to launch. But one thing then happened. Peter said, all right. Maybe they will have had arguments. Maybe they will have talked and talked over it. And they will have discussed it. And they will have said, you do what I said. No. But Peter said, because of your word, we'll launch out. Because of your word, we will do what you've asked us to do. And they launched out. And they caught many fishes. To a fisherman, it is a pound sign that then started running and he said, wow, we've caught fishes, so business is good now. This and that. And he started thinking of all that. But that was not the plan of God for Peter. He says, the plan I have for you is good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. The plan of God for us might derail us from our own plan. The plan of God for us might take us from where we thought we're going to. Maybe the plan of those that planned Glastonbury was for Stormzy to just come and sing, not to bring church to Glastonbury. And I'm still going to come to that because sometimes we say as Christians, why will we even go to such places? Why will Christianity go to Glastonbury? I am one of those people. I'm in that kind of old school where I would say, Glastonbury is the world. This is not, we can't be seen hanging around. People who are raving, drinking. But a young man saw an opportunity and he brought Jesus to Glastonbury. He brought the church to Glastonbury. He sang, even if that is the only Christian song that will be sang in Glastonbury, he sang it and let the people sing along with them. And whether they like it or not, something has been deposited in their life and in their heart. Because he was talking about the grace of God and how he's been blinded by the grace of God. So something was deposited in that place that day. He has called the name of God into an event. Maybe we need to be challenged that way as well. Do we call the name of God into our environment? Or we look at it and say, this is not the place where we should mention God's name. God can take us into situations so that people might get to know who Jesus is. He might take us into an environment where we don't feel comfortable so that we might show forth the light of him who has saved us from darkness into the marvelous light. The Bible says we have the light of the world. We have the light of the world. And it says the light shined in darkness and darkness could not comprehend it. That means that the light went into the darkness so that the darkness could not comprehend it. The light has to go into that darkness. So basically, the light went into the world that was dark and brought light into it. So when we sit down in church and think, this is where it is. No. People will not come into church and meet us. People will not walk into church on very few occasions. But then we need to be out there and reaching out to people. We need to be out there just as Jesus was doing, reaching out to people. We need to be out there converting souls, telling them about God. We need to go into an environment sometimes which might not be so conducive for us. And I understand that I can be pulled back and say, do not be unequally yoked. We're like a tree planted by the riverside, and we should not walk in the path of the ungodly. But our environment is becoming toxic, and we are remaining in our little shell. Our environment is becoming very toxic, and we are remaining in our little shell. The commission that Jesus gave us is, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. It is not go ye into the church. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. The world is becoming toxic, and we have remained in our comfort zone. Jesus was able to use the platform he had. And how did he use it? It wasn't the people that was preaching to that matters. It was the conversion of Peter that catch my attention in this scripture. When Peter was looking at the fishes and like, wow, go away from me. You, this man, I don't know who you are. He said, no, you know what? You are going to become fishes of men. You're going to start catching men. And you can't just start looking at them like, Jesus did not come to that place for Peter. Or the Bible did not say Jesus came to that place for Peter. Jesus just came to preach. But there was a boat that was empty. And upon using that boat, what did Jesus do? He was then able to show the signs and wonders to get people like Peter to then become a disciple. How much of us are we showing to the world these days? How are we reaching out to the world? How are we touching life? We all have different platforms. I will say that to you today. We all have different platforms. One of the things that interests me about the testimony of our brother Wayne is that each time he goes into hospital, he goes in sick. He's a sick man who is going into hospital. But all he wants to do is to tell people about the love of God. That's the platform. That's an opportunity. We go into coffee shop. We see people smiling at us. Or people looking damp and unhappy. It's a platform. An opportunity to reach out. We go around the street. We see people who were dejected and crying. That's the platform. In our different profession, and like I said, V is an example. V and Julie is an example. They moved from here. V moved from here. Julie is from the Philippines. Is that correct? Julie is from the Philippines. And they both were using their skills as dentists to reach out to people. And we've seen many of the pictures that V showed us about what God, how God was using them to use their dentistry to reach out to people. God wants to use you in your different ways. Our brother Rob tells us about how people that come for a driving lesson, he speaks to them and then as they do their lesson, some of them will then say, pray for us. Those things are challenging to me. They're basically using your platform to reach out. People want you to pray. People want you to express God to them in your own environment. But if you don't show, because I'm going to come to that, if you don't show who you are, the world will not know that you've got it. This is what Jesus showed to Peter. We might look at it and say, the miracle of catching of the fishes. No, it was a message before the miracle. Peter would have looked at Jesus because what Peter called him was master before he even started anything. Peter looked at him and said, master, what you're saying is not happening. It's not possible. So basically, there was something that Jesus has shown. There was something that Jesus has shown to Peter that makes Peter to realize that this man is not the same. It's not like every one of us. So when you're going into the world, you're not going like everyone in the world. You're going with the glory of God that radiates in your life. You're going because you have the Holy Spirit filling you. You cannot give what you don't have. If you want to go into the world and reach out to the world, then you must be filled. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you don't have anything in you, you cannot give anything. So basically, first thing you need to understand is that if you want to use a platform, you must have something to take to the platform. Jesus had the message of the love of God. He uses the fishes as an example for him. He said, yes, we've caught so many fishes, but you are going to catch men. God wants to use us in our individual ways. But he wants to use what we have to achieve the kingdom purpose. And that brings me to that woman who went to the sons of prophet and who went to Elijah and said, I don't have anything, but maybe that's the way we are. I don't have anything, but oh, I'm not eloquent, but I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do that. No. You have a pot of oil. And your creditors are chasing you. And the man of God said, go, borrow as many as you can, as many pots as you can. That is the reaching out. Whatever you have, the little you have. And it interests me because many of the people that I grew up to know as preachers of the gospel were not even educated. Many of the people that became examples for me of Christianity were not educated. The little lines of the word they know, they teach you. They want you to know those little lines. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And they say it in my language, not even in English language. They teach us in a way where we just learn. Many of them cannot even write. We didn't know that then. As children, we used to look at them like brilliant people. But they can't write. But they can, sometimes you just don't understand how they read the scripture. But it was the Holy Spirit that was interpreting the scripture in their heart. They were on fire for God. So they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is to power to them to salvation. And as a result, they were ready to share God with everyone. Every opportunity, every platform they have, they were ready to share God. We have ample opportunities. We have the whole world to us. And more so now, when there is the denial of the personality of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to use our life as a showcase. God has given you abundance of his love and grace, and he gave it to you so that you can share it. He said, Jesus, when he was going, he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name," he was telling them, "these signs shall follow them that believe." So basically, it is your ability to believe that there is power of God in you to salvation that will make you to reach out to souls. God has not called us to sit in churches. God has called us to reach out. And I am really touched by the act of Jesus Christ here. And I believe that he says that greater works that he's done, we will also do. So basically, Jesus has given us a foundation. He's given us a good example for us to follow. He's given us the opportunity. And he's also said, he's also given us the Holy Spirit to teach us. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning that you have in your hand what the world is looking for. You have in your hand what can change the world. You have in your hand what can change the lives of people. And these people are looking to you and I for these changes to happen. But if you keep quiet, these people might not be touched. If we keep what we have to ourselves, these people might not be touched. God has called us into an increase. And that increase can only happen by taking advantage of the platform we have. Your work is your platform. Your life is your platform. Your environment is your platform. Everything that you can do is your platform. Not the church. We can have more than one pastor or two pastors or three pastors. All of us can preach in the church. But then it's not just preaching. You're preaching to the converted. Why does it have to be preaching to the converted? Why don't we go out there and reach out to the souls that are dying? Why don't you do church in the park, church on the street? Why don't we reach out in such a way that people will begin to realize there's this great love? People come into church and say, yes, this church is a loving church, but are we showing that love out there? That's what God has called us into. This morning, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging myself as well. And I'm saying, God has given me a platform. And I'm asking for the grace to use it. God bless us all in Jesus' name. Thank you.